Hello, and welcome to episode number 4 of Investing from the Beach. I'm your host, I'm Chris Hansen, and I've got my co-host with me today, Chris Lamb.
Hello, everyone.
The two of us were able to reach time freedom at a relatively young age. I got there when I was about 40. Chris did it when he was about 31. And over the years, I've had lots of people tell me that being able to leave the workforce at age 40 is impressive. But I got to tell you, I think it's incredibly impressive that Chris was able to do it in his early 30s. That's a huge testament that this can be done. Since we both achieve what many people would like to do, which is be able to walk away from a job, we've talked a lot about what it took, and we've seen a particular characteristic or trait that is lacking among lots and lots of people. And it's this. In investing, it doesn't matter if we're talking about real estate or the stock market. It doesn't matter if you're going down the entrepreneurial path, small business ownership, what have you. It really doesn't matter which path you go on. Investing is maybe 5% of how to do. So in other words, 5% of what it takes is the how to do portion. That's the mechanics, the cookbook, the rules, the tactics. The other 95%, and it's really probably closer to 99%, is how to think. And yet most people put all their focus on that 5% portion, and then they neglect that more important 95% portion. And then they wonder why they don't like the results, and they've got to stay longer at the job. The purpose of the Investing from the Beach podcast is to talk about that 95% portion, which is how to think. And today we're going to talk about, I'm not sure how I would describe this. Let me back up. In our last episode, episode 3, we talked about sources of income. And it was really talking about Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrant, about the potential sources of income that anybody has available to them. We also talked about the money triangle, the way that we see it. And we also talked about the impact or the recognition that this helps you realize or recognize where you're spending your time. Are you spending your time as a wage earner? Are you spending your time as a self-employed individual? Or are you spending your time as an investor? And when you come out of that episode, the feedback we've got was, hey, that sounds really neat, but where do I go to learn? How do I learn? What's next? What's next? And we realized that And we know that there's one step you need prior to that, and that's what we're going to cover today.
And it's a very critical piece because most people are unaware, right? I mean, you know, it's very common or human nature to say, hey, I want to go learn something. Let's just go out there and read a book or go talk to somebody, right? Or just, you know, go explore on your own, right?
Give me a class, give me a book, give me a something where I can start. And that's exactly not where to start.
And the you know, the one thing that you have to, I guess, realize is how the brain works as you go and, you know, put information in your head, right, or go out and learn something. And this goes back to, you know, me reflecting on, you know, my learning path as well. And I had an opportunity to teach some high schoolers a couple years ago. One of the high school teacher that I kept in touch with for many years, you know, we reached out and, you know, he said what I was doing. I told him, you know, I have a lot of time freedom now because I'm no longer working for anyone. And he was kind of surprised or kind of, I guess, proud that I was able to accomplish that. And he actually asked if I wanted to come out and, you know, share some stuff with his high school students, right? I think these were anywhere from freshman level all the way to junior level. So 15, 16, 17 year olds. And I came up with this, just kind of noodling on what should I share with these, you know, high school kids, right? And trying to reflect back, you know, when I was in high school, what would I want to know? And it just kind of made me take a step back, right? Why go to school? Why have English class? Why have, you know, history class and all this stuff? And to me, it started, you know, making me think of a model that of how the brain works. And so I want to relate the brain as really a computer. And so if, you know, for those of you guys who, you know, aren't familiar with, you know, or aren't very technical, I can keep it in kind of simple terms. So at the basis of the computer, you have the hardware, right? That's your memory, your storage, right? Your processor. Okay. That's the hardware. So you can, if you compare that, that's basically our brain. That's the hardware. And then on top of that hardware sits the operating system, right? So you can imagine your smartphone. You have an iPhone. There's the iOS. That's the operating system that sits in the phone. And with that operating system, then you're allowed to put applications. You're allowed to install applications. And the applications are the tools and things that you're using your phones for, right? So if we understand that model, our brain is the hardware. And so when we're first born, we don't have any operating system for anything, right? So we go through life, touch and feel and figure things out, and slowly we build operating systems for certain areas of learning. And so within the high school environment, it made me think about, you know, when I went to school, I had no idea why I was going to school other than go to college, what for, and then get a job, what for. And so what I wanted the kids to understand was, you know, the operating system of life. And it really boils down to, you know, you building skill sets and be able to, have money work for you so that you can have the time freedom. And I think I mentioned to Chris before that, hey, you know, I realize that life is made of time. And if you want more of your life, then you got to have your time to yourself, right? Not give it to or sell it to a corporation. And so I wanted to share that message with the kids, right? Allow them to see that they're going through high school to develop a certain skill set. And that skill set's going to help them, right, kind of prepare for their life and how to eventually learn how to make money work for them so they can enjoy their life and apply those skill sets in, you know, life-fulfilling purposes. So that's where I came up with that model. So, for example, in high school, the kids are given a bunch of subject matter, right, to study. And, you know, they're not sure what that all means because they're all apps. Now, if I kind of share with them kind of the whole concept of the operating system, then it starts to make sense. Oh, you know what? It's not just about me, you know, getting good grades in, you know, history or language or writing or whatever it is, but it's just me building my work ethics, right? Me building my, consistency in you know, willing to learn and willing to put in that work. And so once they see that, then the next level, all right, just finish up college, right? Get your degree or whatever areas that you're interested in. But the key thing is, how are you going to have time to yourself? How are you going to have control of your time? And so I try to share that message, and this is why you want to understand this model. Any questions around that, Chris? Did you have any comments?
No, I think you've got it. I mean, so it's the idea on, and I love listening to you talk about this. I would have liked to have been in that high school class. That would have been fun. But if you think about it from a simple word, where you've got the smartphone, and that really becomes the hardware, if you want to put it in simple terms, it's something we all can relate to. And then you've got the operating system, again, whether it's iOS on an iPhone or whether you've got Android on a different one or you've got whatever you got doesn't matter. But that operating system has to be there. And we don't buy the phone, at least most of us don't buy a phone because it's an iPhone. We don't buy the phone because it's an Android. We buy the phone because of the apps, right? And the apps are, whether it's Facebook or, you know, a flashlight, whatever other kinds of things you want to do with the phone, that's why you're buying the phone. We forget that the phone was really to talk to somebody, you know, maybe then to text, but we've added all these additional apps. But all those apps are worthless if the operating system, the baseline operating system, isn't there. And so if you equate that to what, not only what kids learn in school, but what adults learn, all we do, like, so the comments were coming in from the last episode, hey, where do I go to learn? What do I learn? How do I learn? They're looking for apps. How do I go learn real estate? How do I go learn the stock market? How do I learn this? How do I learn that? Where do I go to learn it? Those are apps. And that's the mistake. You got to have the baseline operating system. And then with that in the operating system, that tells you, the operating system knows how much resource to allocate to each one of those apps. So if you should put a lot of focus in stock versus real estate or real estate versus stock, at least now with the operating system, now you know where to go about doing that.
Beautiful. That's a perfect explanation, Chris. And, you know, the operating system is so critical because, you know, any of those apps, right, they may work for that specific purpose, but it doesn't answer everything in that area of learning. And so most people will, you know, learn an app and not realize it. And then when they need something else, that piece is not there. That should be part of the operating system. And so as we're learning to, you know, make money work for us, right, just me reflecting on my quest of learning the stock market, there were so many apps out there. And it took many, many years, I think, right, Chris, for you and I to realize, yes, that, you know, we needed an operating system. And then, you know, we were able to, you know, find all the pieces to be able to put together that operating system. And, you know, just from having the operating system installed, it, you know, it allows me to see so many things more clear. For example, if, you know, somebody would give me a book about, you know, investing, I would know exactly what it's about and be able to say, hey, does it fit into my, you know, environment? Or this is something that I have no use for. And that's because I have the operating system to tell that. But for most people, if they read a book, they will not know how to make sense of it, right? It's because it's just an app to them and they have no operating system.
We do the same thing today. If somebody hands us an app or tells us about an app, our first question is, does it run on iPhone or does it run on Android? Right? And if it doesn't run on the one that we've got, it's like, oh, that's really interesting, but I can't use it. And so it's the same approach when you are presented with, whether it's a book, a seminar, or whatever, on some topic, if it doesn't fit the model of what you're doing, if it doesn't fit your operating system, it's a waste of time. It's a shiny object, and you don't want to go chase that. But once you know what you're looking for, then suddenly those opportunities appear, and you can filter out the ones that are relevant for you and those that are either worthless or just not relevant, not worth your time. So, Chris, can you give me an example? I'm thinking, if I'm the listener listening to this, I understand what you're saying, but you and I've had this discussion for hours and hours and hours over the years. Can you give me an example of, from an investing standpoint, what do you mean by an operating system? Can you describe that a little more fully for me?
Sure. Yeah, so I think most people, you know, are saying, hey, an operating system, an app, they're both softwares, right? Yes, they're information, right, that you got to install. And, you know, basically an operating system is just a bunch of apps, made of a bunch of apps. And so, you know, but you want to make sure that you have all those apps together that make up that operating system. And so as you go and you explore for an operating system and you're learning, you have to have an expectation that it takes time, right? An operating system is going to take longer to install versus an app, right? And so, Chris, when you talk about an example, what specific things are you looking for?
So I guess a couple of things. Well, that's a good point on the operating system. So if we're loading an operating system on our phone or on our PC, that takes a long time. And yet when we load an app, those go really fast. And so building the core infrastructure, if you will, that is not something that happens. I mean, on our phone, it happens in minutes. On our computer, it happens in minutes. In our brain, it takes months to years. And you're always working on that. And so to me, I guess what I was looking for or asking about was, so the operating system for the individual could be along the lines of, are you working toward financial freedom? Are you trying to supplement the income? Are you trying to do something where it replaces a job, meaning you go from a job that you're doing today where you're working for yourself? In the earlier episode, we talked about maybe building your own real estate empire and spending the time doing that, which is awesome if that's what you want to do. Or is it doing something where you can figure out how to have money work for you that takes little of your time so that you have time to go do something else? And to me, that something else doesn't mean you're going to go be a bum on the beach. It doesn't mean you're going to suddenly try and go become a professional surfer or become a professional golfer. It's more about you're going to do something, and not that these aren't worthwhile, but something worthwhile, productive with your time to go pursue your purpose. And so you need to understand, it's kind of along the lines of, it's not so much that it's a goal per se as to what you're driving toward, but it aligns with your goals as to what it is that you're driving toward.
Yes. And an example of the app that you're talking about in investing or in the stock market world is, you know, when I guess you and I, when we explored, right, or we first got, you know, dabbling in the stock market or trying to learn about, you know, anything new, for example, options, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't realize that's just an app, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, in the investing world, right, if I were to pick a book about investing or about options, that's an app. If I were to pick up a book that talks about, you know, buy, you know, some IPO or some penny stocks, that's another app. right? Mm-hmm. And so in the investing world, the operating system should consist of a lot of these apps. What are these apps? You probably want to know about options. You probably want to know about money management. You probably want to know about long-term investing, short-term trading. You probably want to know about technical analysis. You also want to know about emotions and, you know, fear and greed and all of that stuff, you know, when you get into trading, right? The psychology of it. And so all of these components, you know, are put together to build that operating system. And so that's the example of, you know, understanding what an operating system is about before you go and let me pick up a book and read it.
There's a great analogy on this, a story I read years ago, and I don't remember where I read it. So I didn't make this up my own. I cannot give credit because I can't remember where I read it. But the idea is this, and I'll offer this to the listeners. I'd like you to do, and if you're driving, don't do it this way. But for the rest of us that aren't driving, close your eyes for a minute. If you're driving, just use your imagination. And what I'd like you to do is picture a mountain cabin, beautiful mountain cabin, and you get to decide if it's going to be in the summer looking at this or if it's in the winter, snow-covered, beautiful snow-covered palm or pine trees. Now think about that, and you get to decide, is this a big, beautiful, huge chalet, or is this a small little mountain cabin? Either one you want to pick is fine. Now, the one thing to also build into that mental image, this is an incredibly desolate, remote mountain cabin. And so the only way for you to get there, you had to be helicoptered in. And so they've dropped you in, and the helicopter left. And now you're left there for some period of time. And you actually were given this place, or you bought the place. The person that gave it to you, you bought it from, and you can open your eyes now, they did not have running water at this place. And so you got it for a very, very low price because of that. But that's okay, because there is a nice flowing mountain stream that is running very, very, very close to your home, to this mountain home, mountain cabin that you've got. Your challenge in your time up there, you have to figure out how to get running water into the house. The person before you would just go out and take buckets, and they would bring it in and then use the water for cleaning, cooking, whatever they were doing. But what you want to do is bring running water into the home. And you don't have a plumbing background nor an engineering background, but you got a little bit of wits about you. And so what you want to think of, in order for you to bring running water into the house, you just stop and think about it for a minute. What you'll end up doing is you have to somehow divert some of the water from that river stream into probably like a pond or a reservoir, some kind of collection body. And from there, it's got to pump into the house, and then it's going to go into a spigot where you've got to have a faucet that can turn it on and off. From there, you have to have a catch basin or some kind of a sink. From there, you have to have a drain that goes back out of the house. And then from the drain, it's going to go either into a sewage system, a septic system, or you could just be rude to the person downstream and just put the gray water back into the river. However you want to do it is fine. I'm not being judgmental. But as you think about that, so the first thing you're going to have to do is build the output, if you will. So you're going to architect and design and build, again, whether it goes sewage or septic or back into the river. And then you're going to build piping from the drain, or build the drain system in the house, probably off of a sink, out to the septic and sewage system. And then you're going to have to go out to the river and pour buckets of water down the drain and do it slowly at first, because you need to be sure that your drainage system is complete, it's secure, and it works. Because if you put in a big flow of water and you have an error or something is not correct in your output system, you're going to have a huge mess. And so you got to spend a ton of time designing how the water exits the house. Once you've got that done, now you got to figure out how, when the water comes in the house, how are you going to stop the flow of the water? So you're going to need to design some kind of a faucet system, and then you'll need to design some kind of a pump that brings water in from that reservoir into the house, up to the faucet, out to the drain, and then back out. And then the next thing you got to do then is build the reservoir. And so the reservoir has to be, you got to figure out how big it is, how deep it is, the layout, whatever. And then you also have to figure out, now, how do I bring water in from the river into the reservoir and be able to have some kind of a turnoff valve, if you will, so that the reservoir doesn't overfill. Because if I get too much water, I'm going to have a mess there.
Now I know why the other guy, used the bucket, right, Chris?
Now you know why you could have done this a lot more brief than I did, but I'll draw it out.
But that's the analogy. I mean, or that helps you see in life. It's the same way when people see the description that Chris says, hey, this is what you got to do to get that water. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants that whole, hey, nice water flowing to your place and not having to do the bucket. But, you know, they see the bucket was so simple as to, you know, to do right off the bat. So they just go and do that.
Correct. And it doesn't.
So that's the app.
It's the short-term solution, but it's not a long-term. I mean, it's a Band-Aid. It's not a long-term solution.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like an app, right?
Yes. You know, it's that, but it's also the objective. And so you have to put all that infrastructure in place. And it takes a long time to, you got to think it through. You got to design it. You got to practice it. And then you finally can implement it. And the whole reason you put all this stuff in place was to get water. And so you put all this time and effort in there to get one thing. And the one thing you wanted is the very last thing that shows up. And so all that effort went in to get water into the house. And the water is the very, very last thing. To me, investing is the exact same way. And definitely the stock market is this way. You got to put a ton of time and effort in to build the operating system, if you will, and all the infrastructure, and whether that's rules, how to think, a whole bunch of stuff. And you do all that so that you can get money. But if you have any flaw in your design, if there's anything lacking, the water or the money is not going to show up. And once the whole system is in place, the last thing that shows up is the money. And in that mountain example, because you've got this nicely flowing river, the water will always be there. And I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of others. The money and the opportunity is all around us. We live in the richest country on earth, and we live in the richest time in the history of the world. We are right in the heart of it here in the United States. It's an awesome, awesome thing. And so the opportunities are all around us. We just have to learn how to build that operating system. So we have that as a foundation, and then we look for the apps that we can use to take advantage of it.
And the recognition. I think just people don't recognize it, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's a very, very cool thing.
And we find the same, I mean, it's the same concept, right? You can apply it to a lot of things in life. You know, one of the areas that, you know, Chris always says at the beginning of the year is, you know, people focus on, you know, finance and fitness, right? So if you look in the areas of fitness and you go to the gym and see, you know, somebody who's stepping in the gym for the first time, they're very excited and they want to, you know, hey, let's get going. Let's do the work and, you know, I'm going to lose weight, right? I'm going to get to my, you know, the shape that I want to. And, you know, a week or two or three or even a month or two later, they're no longer as motivated or they're not doing the work anymore. And you may find, you know, if you catch up with that person, you can ask them and don't be surprised. They're probably not doing a whole lot. And I mean, you can say, what's the matter, right? They're probably focusing on, you know, are they losing weight as they're running? The results or, you know, the weight loss doesn't take place overnight. And so if they're focusing on that, they're going to quit.
They're focused on the how to do as opposed to how to think.
Correct.
And a parallel example to that, we all know that if we want to lose weight, we have to do a combo of two things. You got to put less on your fork and you got to move more. And if you do that, whether it's more clean eating, less eating, whatever it is, but you've got to, you know, manage the input and you got to move more. And if you do that, the weight will come off. At what degree or rate, that's all variable. But it's a real simple equation. Move more and eat less. And so you go, well, that's the how to do. That means because it's so simple, we shouldn't have anybody that has a weight problem. But look around our country. It's very, very common. And why is that? It's not because of the how to do, even though there's hundreds of books on the bookshelf at Borders or at Amazon or at Barnes and Noble.
It's people not knowing how to think.
Don't understand the how to think. And it shows up in weight, you know, weight loss, if you will, or on the scale on the bathroom or the number on the bathroom scale. It shows up in the way you manage your finances. It's all about the how to think.
You know, the how to think concept is, you know, might be a little bit confusing early on as, you know, you're new to it, but as we give you more and more example, I think you guys will get a good feel of what it is to, you know, truly leverage that type of mindset, right, to be able to achieve the things that you set out to do. And it's so important to understand this whole operating system model and how your brain works, right? Because if you're going to go and chase financial freedom, time freedom, you know, money working for money, whatever it is, right, you're going to go through the same learning process. Mm-hmm. And so we hope that, you know, as you understand this, it'll help you set a certain expectation. And you know, you're not going to be frustrated going through that process, and you won't quit on yourself.
It's that, and it's even you learn to recognize when somebody is presenting an app to you. For example, I was on my email earlier today, and I had a whole bunch of requests to join various meetup groups. Many of them were around finance stuff or whatever the topic was. And basically, they're all apps. Come in, let me show you how this works. Let's come in and get together and talk about how we be an entrepreneur. Let's talk about this. Let's get together and talk about that. All of those are apps. And they might be incredibly brilliant apps. But if I don't have my base operating system, it's going to crumble. It's not going to help me.
Yeah, and the operating system that you have allows you to decide whether those apps make sense for you or not.
Yep, you determine the relevancy. Yeah. Does it fit? Does it fit with what I'm trying to do and with what I, where I'm going? Yeah, it's a really, really cool thing. Hey, Chris, next we are on our next episode, I think what we said we were going to talk about is really what drives you after you get to financial freedom, right? If you do these things we're talking about, you'll see that over time, the dollars will start to flow, the bank balance will start to grow. But at some point, you then hit you hit financial freedom, whatever that means to you. And so we've seen a number of examples on that. It's a really interesting discussion as to what do you do once you get to that point. And so we'll be covering that in our next episode. So with that, if you have thoughts for us, comments for us, or suggestions for an upcoming episode you'd like us to address, send us an email. investingfromthebeach@gmail.com. That's investingfromthebeach@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to give us a phone call, we'd love to hear your thoughts, your comments, or again, ideas for a future episode. The phone number is easy to remember, and I'll give you a good visual for this. I love this. No matter where you are in the world, you can hop on, assuming you can get on a 747 airplane. So a huge jumbo jet, a 747. Within about 24 hours, I believe you can get to just about any beach in the world. And that ends up being our phone number, 747-24-BEACH. On a 747, in 24 hours, you can be at the beach. That's 747-242-3224. Give us a call. Let us know if you have questions. And let us know if you have ideas or suggestions for a future episode that we could discuss. We would appreciate it. Now, what I'd like you to do, I'm going to insert a sound clip, and I want you to take a very close listen to it. See if you can identify what it is. Here's the sound clip. Now, if you heard that, some of you are going to hear that and go, oh, come on, man, I know exactly what that is. That's just waves crashing on the beach. Well, I'm going to argue with you a little bit. You might want to rewind that, listen to it again, because those are not just any waves crashing on the beach. Those actually are Tuesday waves. I went down to the beach near my home in Huntington Beach, California, and I recorded waves on a Tuesday. Tuesday waves are awesome. They sound so much better than the waves that everybody else gets to listen to on Saturdays and Sundays. And we know, and we firmly believe, that if you'll implement the ideas and the strategies and the concepts that we're talking about in this podcast, not just this episode, but in the other episodes on this show as well, if you'll implement those ideas and those concepts, you too will eventually get to the point where all you get to listen to and your choice is to listen to only Tuesday waves. You don't want to deal with those Saturday and Sunday waves that everybody else listens to. Tuesday waves are the way to go. As always, thank you for listening, and until next time.